T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's got to be spring. Did you wake up to thunder this morning? I thought I was hallucinating. Thought I was hearing something. What was that? 3 in the morning? A growl of thunder. And so, yeah, spring is here. And it's an awkward transition into spring. 2 weeks from today, the Twins home opener. We are pumped about that. And we are so pumped that we are giving away tickets to the home opener. Here's what you need to listen for. At some point over the next 3 hours, you will hear this. One more time, Susan Blanche. Okay. So don't call now. But when you hear that, anytime. Thank you. Okay. Enough. Anytime.
And maybe you should explain what that sound is in case
it's the crack of a bat.
And a crowd.
It's the crack of a bat and the crowd roaring. Yes. If you hear that. When you hear that, between now and 6 o'clock, call in. If you're caller number 4, you get a couple of complimentary tickets to see the Twins take on the Cleveland Indians 2 weeks from today, 3:10 on March 28th. Plus, all day you can register for a chance to win online at WCCORadio.com/contests. And if you don't win this week, you have chances all next week with Henry Lake. Get your tickets for the Twins in Cleveland opening day, March 28th at 3:10. By the way, the first 30,000 fans get free Twins puffer vests, courtesy of your local Northland Ford dealers. How cool is that? And you can always order up tickets at twinsbaseball.com/tickets. So that's kind of cool. Nice way to start the show, giving away stuff. We've got some Twins swag coming up. Shaletta is going to be joining us shortly. Gail Rosenblum from the Star Tribune will inspire us at 3:35. Tim Reckmeyer from Microsoft, a buddy of mine who is very much into clean energy, and he's going to join us at 4:10. Senator Dave Osmek is going to talk renewable energy. He joins the conversation at 4:35. Mike Max at 4:50. Governor Walz talking about his vision for lowering health care prices. The governor will be on at 5:10. And did you hear about this crazy story? A southern Minnesota man held a party, a meth party and death metal party. Basically murdering his wife. I mean, there's no polite way to say that. In his defense, he says that she was deathly sick and this is how she wanted to go. So we're going to talk to a professor of bioethics at the University of Toronto at 5:20, talking about euthanasia, talking about physician-assisted death. How is that working in Canada? And there are a number of states where it's legal here in the United States. What do you think about that? We want to get your reaction. But first, Category 5, superstar Shaletta Brundage. Boy, you have had a wild 24 hours. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I am still in my pajamas. I couldn't get out of the bed. I am just floating on cloud 9 right now, Uncle Paul.
Hey, tell us what happened. I know you are former First Lady Michelle Obama's biggest fan here in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. She has a lot of fans. She wrote an amazing book, and the whole book club, Becoming, I get that. It's definitely a movement. But just give our listeners a little background about how you got involved and what the heck happened at the XL Energy Center last night.
So I love Michelle Obama. You know, she was the first professional African-American married woman with a professional husband and a family that I saw as a young woman that I said, this is what I want to be like. Because, you know, that Claire Huxtable wasn't real. She was just pretend. She was acting. And she was real life. So for me and the young ladies that I, you know, grew up with and went to college with, you know, we saw her and we said we wanted to be like her. And then she and Barack burst on the scene. And about that time, my husband and I had just got married. And, you know, I was struggling to become a wife. And so I just kind of watched her silent example of supporting her husband. And I said, you know, this is the type of marriage I want for me and my husband. Strong, loving, supportive, togetherness, hashtag squad goals, hashtag relationship goals. So I kind of grew up in her shadows, kind of watching her and taking her cues. You know, she never wrote a book that said, this is the 10 things you need to do to be a good wife. Mm-hmm. You know, you just had to watch her and take note. And so, I credit her today with saving my marriage because I didn't know what being a wife looked like. So I've always admired her and revered her and appreciated her example of a strong woman. And so, you know, I've always, you know, bought the books and, you know, went to the campaign rallies and, you know, went to the talks and supported her and had the cups and the mugs and the hats and the T-shirts. And then when she came out with this book, well, we, you know, had to do the book club thing. And, you know, then she decided she was going to go on these rock star book tours. And I thought, oh, my God, I've got to buy tickets for all the ladies in my book club. And, you know, I used to work down in Houston, and that's where I'm from. And they called and taunted me and said that they had a mural of Michelle Obama and that they were her biggest fans, and I wasn't. So I
they egged you on.
They did, and they knew I was crazy enough to take the bait. Mm-hmm. They knew that I would probably not be on my medication properly. And so I called. They have something called muralists. I never knew there was such a word. But they have some wonderful muralists right here in the Twin Cities, and I call all 30 of them. And they all said, Ms. Brundage, we can't paint right now. It's too cold outside. The paint won't agree with it. We would paint a mural on your house, but we have to do it in spring. And I'm like, no, I need it by Monday.
Yeah, yes.
And they said it can't be done. So I called a little printing company in Woodbury called Image 360, a female-owned small business, and I said, listen, I know it's going to sound like I'm the crazy lady because I am, but I need you to print a huge poster to cover the front of my house with Michelle Obama's face on it so I can welcome her to the Twin Cities. And the owner, Gina, was like, I can't do it, Ms. Brundage. This is crazy. And she took the idea to her staff, and she's like, I talked to this crazy lady on the phone, Ms. Rundridge. And anyway, she wants a picture of Michelle Obama to cover the front of her house. We don't even have the material. And her staff was like, oh, heck yeah, we're doing it. And they, like, put all their other jobs on hold, and they were in there cussing and fussing and slinging paint and printer ink, and they did it. And my husband took off from work and hired a contractor, and they put it up, and it said, Minnesota loves Michelle. So I started a hashtag and, you know, got on social media and got real busy and, you know, just welcoming her to the Twin Cities. And my husband said, okay, you're doing all this, but what are you going to do with the poster when it's done? I said, well, I don't know. He said, why don't you donate it to Girls in Action? It's a local nonprofit that helps girls, inner-city girls, in schools in St. Paul and Minneapolis. 300 girls are in this mentoring program. Donate it to them for this big fundraiser they're having in May. And then, you know, it means something. This is what Michelle Obama's all about, helping young girls. And I said, okay, let's do it. Well, that caught the attention of some media folks in town, and they came over and did stories on it. And the whole time I was still doing a lot of social media, kind of, you know, welcoming, you know, former First Lady to the Twin Cities. And then our homegirl, Michelle Norris, from formerly of National Public Radio, was the moderator. So just sending shouts out to her. And a couple of days before the book talk, they, you know, put a post on Twitter that said, if you have any questions for, you know, the former First Lady, she'd love to answer some of them at her, you know, book talk at the Xcel Energy Center last night. And, you know, 20,000 people were there. She only answered three questions. And the first one, Uncle Paul, was mine.
That there was a picture of you and your hubby and your four amazing kids up there behind Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama, I know.
And didn't she retweet you, or she tweeted about you too, right? I swear I saw tweets.
Perez with Fox 9 News here in town. She came out to the house and she talked to the young ladies from Girl in Action, and she talked to Dr. Verna Price, and she talked to me about the mural and, you know, the crazy fandom, but it's actually, we're calling it a poster with a purpose because we're using it to help, you know, young girls. And so she did this huge story on it. And she, you know, they put it online, and then Michelle Obama saw it and retweeted it and said, you know, good job, Shaletta. You know, thank you for the poster welcoming me to the Twin Cities and for the work you do to help young girls. I about fell out.
That,
I just fell out, Uncle Paul.
That's pretty cool. I mean, that's the definition of cool. And you are the definition of a super fan. And when we come back, we got to pay a few bills here, Shaletta. But we're having Gail Rosenblum from the Star Tribune. She has an amazing column called Inspired, talking about all the good people that are doing good things. I want to hear from you about what Michelle Obama, what the message was. And if you could kind of give us the essence of her book, Becoming, and how it has inspired so many people, not just women, but men, too. Mm-hmm. Just curious about what all the fuss is about. I want to hear from you about that when we come back on CCO. Paul here. I gotta share this text. Hey, Paul. Why, when you go on vacation, do you have to do your show on the phone every day? And Jordana, we haven't heard a peep. Jordana's smarter, as if that wasn't evident. No, she wanted to disconnect. And I don't blame her. We all need to disconnect. We all need to find our happy place and recharge the batteries. So Jor is back on the air tomorrow. She is a Category 5, another Category 5 woman, who we are very happy to have here at CCO Radio is Shaletta Brundage. You are always optimistic, and it's one of the many reasons I admire you, Shaletta, is that you are an inspiration for a lot of people out there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
And we're trying to get as many voices on the air as we can. And, you know, some of our listeners may not be big fans of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, but that's okay. You know, we're gonna celebrate everybody who has a message. And it's kind of funny. Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't former First Lady Michelle Obama have higher approval ratings than her husband?
Than her husband. Yes, she does. And, you know, it's so funny that you say that because people think that, you know, there was just a room full of black women last night or a room full of women, you know, or a room full of older women.
Mm-hmm.
There was such a large variety of people there. There were older men. I bumped into an older white guy who was dropping off books because, you know, the former First Lady wanted people to bring books to donate to schools. I bumped into people at the bar who were Republicans but, you know, appreciated her message. I bumped into men who were bringing their daughters and were having a daddy-daughter function. There's white guys bringing their white daughters to see this black woman speak. So it's not about black and white. This is a woman with a universal message of empowerment, of love, of doing better, of helping one another, just sharing and telling her story that cuts across party lines, that cuts across, you know, race or ethnicity or religious background. It's not about, you know, socioeconomic or anything. This woman is from a two-parent home where her mother and father were together. They loved one another. Mm-hmm. They worked to try to raise good kids. And that's all of us. That could be you. That could be me. That could be Jordana. That could be any of us. That's what all of us want, is for our kids to live a better life than we did.
Did she talk about that, the importance of having a family, a coherent family life, family structure? Did that come up at all last night?
It did. The main thing that she kept going back to was family and her mother and her father and the way she was raised and how she appreciated growing up not having a lot, so that she, you know, had to work hard for everything she got. And she also talked about her community, her family and her community, the people around her, her aunts and uncles and neighbors and the people who supported her and gave her a voice and gave her wings to fly, and how, you know, her mother was a stay-at-home mom and her dad worked, and how she was able to listen to her when she was having trouble at school and go to the school to find out what was wrong and fix the problem and be an advocate for her child, and how it's important that we listen to our children. And that is why there was so many different people there. She said last night that the Excel Center was the biggest crowd she's had so far, and she's been selling out arenas all over the country. And like I said, if you looked out in that crowd just on my row, I got a book club. There's only two black women in my book club, and I'm one of them. And there's only three Democrats. The rest of them are Republicans and independents. So it's not about, you know, and somebody said, oh, you're going with the women from your book club. Are they in your church? Are you guys all black? And I thought, why is that important to anybody? We're all just people. Nobody sees that anymore. We've got to get away from that.
Boy, amen. I could not have said that any better than you just said it. Let me ask a radical question. Why doesn't Michelle Obama run?
Oh, my God. I think the way she talks, she's so done with politics. It's like she's just happy to be at home making a cheese sandwich in her kitchen and not having a bunch of people around her.
She wants nothing to do with the process and getting dragged through the mud by the media and, I mean, all the stuff that comes with it, begging for money.
Yes. And you know, she talked about how difficult it was, and they showed some clips on the big screen where people were calling her an ape in heels and, you know, saying such names about her. The book is becoming, and you can see she's becoming more relaxed, more into her own lane. She can say what she wants without worrying about the scrutiny of, you know, a campaign that's coming up or any detractors or any opponents. She is just, you know, last night I just felt her freedom in the room. I felt she was so free to be and say and do exactly who she wants to be and say and do. She is becoming more free every day, and I'm loving it.
Ignore the haters.
Ignore the haters.
Ignore the trolls.
Yes. She said, you know, the best thing you can do for your haters is be the best you that you can be. Don't even address them. Don't even give them place. Don't even give them a voice. You just keep being the best you that you can be, and that's how you deal with your haters.
Shaletta. Man, I'm exhausted.
I'm so tired. I can't believe Lindsay Peterson got me on the schedule tonight. If I didn't have to call you and be so excited, I would have called in sick.
Well, you have had a remarkable couple of months and a remarkable 24 hours.
Oh,
and
yes.
I give you credit for not giving up, for pushing, and for having such an amazing presence, not only last night at XL Energy Center, but really inspiring a lot of other women and men of various colors, doesn't matter. Thank you for your message, and we're going to keep repeating it here on CCO.
Well,
so,
thank you
God bless.
For you and Aunt Jordana and Susan and Dan. You guys always have me on. You always talk to me. You always encourage me, and I could not be there knocking on the door if somebody didn't open it. You guys are my gatekeepers, and you keep the gate open, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
All right, we're in this together.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shaletta.
We love y'all. All right.
We love you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And when we, wow, she is a force of nature. And speaking of forces of nature and forces for good, Gail Rosenblum at the Strib always is able to track down great people doing great things with great stories. And I think it's in our DNA. We seem to respond to the bad news. That's what lures us in, moth to the flame. But I think all of us appreciate good stories, stories of redemption and hope and optimism now more than ever. We connect with Gail Rosenblum from the Star Tribune next. All right, you hear so much about the bad news. Speaking of bad news, Jordana is back tomorrow. No, I love Jordana, and I miss Jordana, and it's always a much, much better show, a livelier show. I'm a slow talker. Jordana's a fast talker. In a way, we're kind of oil and water, but I miss her. She's coming back from Puerto Rico. I think she's on a flight right now, and hopefully she'll have a few stories she can share in public on the radio tomorrow. So Jor is back tomorrow. Enough with the bad. This hour, we're trying to fixate on some of the good people doing good things. And when I think of good people doing good things, I think of Gail Rosenblum and her remarkable column at the Star Tribune. Something of a trailblazer in the media industry. How can good news possibly be newsworthy, Gail?
Yes, I hear it a lot. I hear it a lot. I push back and I say, you know, my mantra is this is also true. This is also happening. So
right.
It's not an either or. We need to tell both, And, you know, the good and the bad, and journalists have to sort of afflict the comfortable. That's our mission. But I think we can also do these stories to give some balance.
Some balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
All for balance. You've got a couple of great stories. I know you're working on one that really piqued my interest.
Yes, I saw you.
Older Minnesotans who can go back to school for free?
So this is a great, a best-kept secret in Minnesota. People 62 and older can go back to the U, and they can take any kind of classes that they want at the U for free. That is the cost, free. If they want to get credit, it's $10 a credit. So we featured two gentlemen, really sweet stories of these guys, you know, worked their whole lives, and now one's, I think, 67, and another one's about the same age. They went back to school and are sitting in classrooms with kids their grandkids' ages and learning literature and science and history, and they're just taking a whole bunch of things.
Do you know, could you actually apply this for an advanced degree if you want to get a master's degree?
You know, that part I'm not clear on, but you could. I think you could work toward a degree. I think you actually could. I think most of the people, though, from what we hear, there's about 500 students, these senior students. They call them senior citizens. I don't know if I like that, but that's
I don't
what
they either. My whole definition of senior citizen is 100 plus.
I was going to say a lot older than we are.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
But there's about 500 on campus and wandering around, finding their way, and most of them are doing it for the love of learning and being. I mean, you could just imagine being in a room with young people and just the great energy of sharing and listening. And the gentleman we interviewed talked a lot about just sort of sitting back and listening. They're not that aggressive in class. They like to listen.
The joy of learning. I don't know if it was Socrates or Aristotle who had the question, would anybody go to the university if they didn't get a degree? Would they just go for the love of learning new things? And when you think about it, you know, with many of us living longer and being productive well into our 80s and in some cases our 90s, I mean, many people, suddenly you're 60 years old or 62, and you still have quite a runway.
And such curiosity, I think. And so I think it's just a delightful and wonderful opportunity, and I think more people should sign up and go. I think
how
it would
cool
be great,
is that?
Great for the university and great for young people to learn from their elders in the classroom. So it's a win-win, really. I think it's a great program.
62-plus.
62-plus.
If you're interested in that, again, just do a Google search.
Do
you have links in your story?
We do have the link in the story, for people to go and take a look and explore, and I encourage people to do it.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
Now, talk to me about pigeons.
I'm
a little leery of this story, but why should
we care about pigeons?
Did you know
that there is actually pigeon breeding? It's a hobby stretching back thousands of years. You will read about it in Inspired this week. It's hilarious. It's a story about a father and a daughter. He's a farmer. She's a truck driver. They are in pigeon breeding. And they have a whole bunch of pigeons, and we have a picture in Inspired of one of the pigeons just sort of strutting its stuff. It's hilarious. I mean, they have great respect for these pigeons, and they said they have great historical relevance, and you know, pigeons for decades way back were honored as a certain kind of bird. So it's actually a delightful story, and you learn words I've never heard about sort of the kinds of pigeons there are. They have funny names like let me see if I can find any of them. Modenas, naked neck Syrian dewlap, Serbian high flyer, etc.
What? Are we still talking pigeons?
We're talking about pigeons.
Okay.
And there you go. And so there's this grand national show that they call the Super Bowl of Pigeon Shows. And they, this father and daughter were just there. And so it's a little feature on them. So it's delightful and out there.
Very
silly.
Cool. All right. I'll keep an open mind on that one.
It's a funny one. Yeah.
Gail, when I was much, much younger, I played the cello.
Oh, well.
But I found that in order to get a date, I had to kind of shift gears and transfer that love of music into guitar.
Of course.
And I played a four-string bass guitar.
That's great.
And suddenly it was a little easier in the girl department. But
still
have a great love of cellos and cellists, and you have a great story too, right?
We do. We are featuring 17-year-old, this amazing young man, Nigel Witherspoon. His great aunt was Shirley Witherspoon, who I think your listeners will remember, the great jazz musician Shirley.
Yeah.
So he comes from a family of musicians, and he just won a big national honor for his cello. He's 17 years old. He is the most laid-back, mature, cool young man, really going to be a superstar. And he has always been homeschooled and done school online so he can work on his craft. And he is just an amazing musician. And so it was neat to – we have a beautiful picture of him with his cello. And he's just – it's just wonderful to honor him for being so directed and focused on this beautiful instrument, as you know. It's just such a – it's got such a gorgeous
sound. I'm biased,
sound.
But I think it's
gorgeous,
marvelous.
Gorgeous,
yeah.
Sound. He's played with the Minnesota Orchestra, I think, once or twice. So he's really a rising star. And so I think people will know the family name, and now they'll keep track of Nigel – and his whole family is, they're all musical, but it was neat to feature him.
One to watch. I don't know if it was the Minnesota Orchestra or the St. Paul Chamber, but I had a chance to meet Yo-Yo Ma.
Oh, wow.
And that was that was a thrill.
Oh, man, that's neat.
How cool was that? I the more I think about this and the more I listen to you, Gail, I'm fairly convinced that you may have the best gig
at
the Star Tribune.
I am so happy going to work.
Are you the only happy one in the newsroom?
Well, there's a lot of cynics in any newsroom.
Right.
But no, I think it's just a great job. I get to shop for good news, and it's problem solving. It's not just lightweight stuff. We do deal with a lot of heavier issues, but we show sort of that solutions based approach, meaning yes, it's a problem. Here's how we're solving it. Here's how others are solving it. Gives people hope. It's just sometimes hard to get up in the morning, and so we want to offer you something that makes you want to get up in the morning, give you good role models. There's so many of them out there. So I am so really grateful to you to let me talk every week about the section because I'm very, very proud of it.
Hey, we need to balance out the creeps and the deviants and the perverts and the scandals.
Right.
And the
right.
Yeah.
A lot of that, too.
Do you take submissions? I mean,
absolutely.
Can people email you?
People do all the time.
Okay.
I get hundreds of submissions a month. And so I answer everybody.
Hundreds a month.
Yeah, I answer everybody who sends emails. Not everything elevates to a story, but I really want people to know how grateful I am that they're letting me know. And sometimes it spurs another idea. But I love hearing from our readers, and they're wonderful about sending ideas. So I would encourage anyone. They could write to me. It's just gail.rosenblum@startribune.com. It's on. You'll find it in the paper. Send me an email if you have an idea. People are doing it all the time. It's great.
Wow. You're going to have to write a book.
Well, maybe. Maybe just pick the best of the year or something. I mean, it's just there's a lot of wonderful, heartwarming stuff that's
maybe
going on.
Maybe a series on Netflix.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
What would you call it? I don't know. Netflix. I don't know. I don't think we're dark enough for Netflix.
Well, and that's what I thought too. But I just saw an interesting. I've seen a couple of interesting series, and we're going way off script here. But one with Ricky Gervais.
Oh yeah.
Called Afterlife.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
heard
it's
a lot about that.
And you should watch it.
Yeah. And love that.
I think our listeners, if you have Netflix. Check it out. It's called Afterlife.
Yes, right.
This poor guy, he loses his wife. He goes to the dark side.
Yep.
He works for a little newspaper somewhere in the UK in England. And it's funny, it's dark, it's poignant, and I think it's at the end of the day, it's uplifting.
Yeah,
it's kind of a twisted Friends
right. Oh,
in terms of the cast of characters. That, and I saw another thing on Netflix, and again, way off topic, called An Interview with God, which...
Oh. Did that just start, or is that a new one?
I think it's relatively new, but again, I would recommend that.
Yeah.
That's about an hour and a half. A journalist who's, charged with interviewing God, and he plays along with a scam, and you're God,
sure.
Right?
Uh-huh. Sure.
And the more he sits down for an interview with this individual, the more he's like, uh-oh, wait a second.
Maybe this is,
because he's saying things that how would anybody else know? So anyway,
good.
But
I'll go home and binge. Thank you.
I really appreciate what you're doing. The positivity, it's infectious.
Love
keep it going,
it.
And
Thank you.
We'll catch you next
All
Thursday.
Right. See you next week. All right, take care. Have a good week.
Gail Rosenblum, and again, this is Saturday morning. Paul here. Jordan is back tomorrow from Puerto Rico. You may have heard about this. The U.S. Senate voted 59-41 to overturn President Trump's declaration of a national emergency. At the southwestern border. This is viewed by many as a bipartisan rebuke to what some lawmakers have called executive overreach. By the way, 12 GOP senators joined in that vote. So both the House and the Senate have voted to overturn this declaration, setting up what will probably be the first veto of President Trump's tenure in office. So we'll keep you posted on that. Did you hear about Remington? Today, a divided Connecticut Supreme Court ruled that gunmaker Remington can be sued over how it marketed the Bushmaster rifle that was used to kill 20 children, 20 first graders, and six educators at Sandy Hook Elementary School back in 2012. The justices ruled 4-3 in a decision that reinstated a wrongful death lawsuit and overturned a lower court ruling that the lawsuit was prohibited by a 2005 federal law that shields gun manufacturers from liability in most cases when their products are used in crimes. So here's the deal. The plaintiffs include a survivor of the Sandy Hook shooting and relatives of nine of the people who were killed in the massacre. They argued successfully, at least in terms of this court, that the AR-5-style rifle used by Adam Lanza, the shooter, is too dangerous for the public, and Remington glorified the weapon in marketing this to young people. Remington has repeatedly denied wrongdoing, and it previously insisted that it can't be sued under the federal law, which limits liability. Again, that's the one dating back to 2005. But the majority of the high court in Connecticut, not the Supreme Court, we're talking the Connecticut Supreme Court, agreed with most of the lower court's rulings and dismissed most of the lawsuit's allegations. The one thing they did allow was a wrongful marketing claim to proceed. Quote, the regulation of advertising that threatens the public's health, safety, and morals has long been considered a core exercise of the state's police powers. This, according to Justice Richard Palmer, who wrote for the majority. Connecticut's child advocate said Lanza's severe and deteriorating mental health problems, his preoccupation with violence, and access to his mother's legal weapons proved a recipe for mass murder. So again, this case has been watched by gun rights supporters, gun control advocates across the country as one that could affect other cases accusing gun makers, the gun makers, like Remington, of being responsible for mass shootings. Several groups ranging from the NRA to emergency room doctors submitted briefs to the court. By the way, Remington, which is based in Madison, North Carolina, filed for bankruptcy reorganization last year amid years of slumping sales and legal and financial pressure over the Sandy Hook massacre. So, just wanted to bring you up to date on that. Hey, coming up here in a couple of minutes after the break, talk to a friend of mine, Tim Reckmeyer, who works at Microsoft, and he's also very much an advocate for clean energy. And he's a Christian, and he has something of a conservative bent. And I want to get his input about what he's optimistic about, and is it going to take a Green New Deal for us to dial down carbon, or are there market-based solutions, and what is the smarter way? Let's debate policy. Let's not debate science. And then at 4:35, Senator Dave Osmek is going to join us, a Republican from District 33, to talk again about renewable energy as part of the energy mix. Of course, the governor, Governor Walz, who, by the way, is going to be on at 5:10 today, and he has a very ambitious vision to dial down carbon in the state of Minnesota to make us carbon neutral by 2050. Very similar in many respects to the vision that Xcel Energy, our largest utility, has for dialing down carbon. So is there a market-friendly way to do this that gives consumers more choices and lowers costs over the long haul? Nobody wants to pay more for energy, but I think we all agree we want energy abundance. We want more energy. We want to pay less for it. and we want fewer unpleasant side effects. So a conversation with Tim Reckmeyer, and, well, we're going to think of some other things to talk about. We got plenty to talk about. Good news, a little bit of bad news sprinkled in. We want to make sure you're up to date on everything that's going on. Oh, yeah, that and keeping an eye on the growing flood scenario. I think we're going to see significant flooding on the big tributaries, the Minnesota, the St. Croix, the Mississippi, probably not cresting till the first or second week of April. But some of these smaller streams and rivers already out of their banks will keep you posted round the clock right here on your weather station, News Talk 830 WCCO.
She says the reason she kept fighting was because she didn't want her mom to get the call she was dead. The story at 4:03 on WCCO and KMNB-FM HD2, Minneapolis-St. Paul.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.